you're hoping, there's a way you position yourself. But when you're expecting, there's another way you position yourself that opens your heart for what God is about to do in your life. How many came with an expectation this morning? May your expectation be met in Jesus' name. Are you ready for his word this morning? Please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'll be reading from verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9. It says, the man of God, that's Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. That scripture scared me, you know. Because when it comes to God, you don't have a private life. He knows when you go in, he knows when you come out. He knows, he's got inside information about everything. And so when he says that, do not fear, he really knows what he's talking about. Do not fear. Next verse. It says, then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Even when you can't see, the hand of God is fighting for you. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. If you know who is for you, you're not concerned about who is against you. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eye, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Hallelujah. Who here came with an expectation this morning? Look, I've got nothing to give you this morning. I'm only a vessel. But if you open your heart, I read somewhere that every lack we experience is the word lack. So I pray that God will drop a word in your spirit today that will provide what you want to meet that lack that you need. So don't look to me, look to God. Don't look beyond these skinny jeans and look to God, because he's got something for you this morning. Hallelujah. You know, in the scripture that we just read, I don't know if you're getting the scenario. The king of Syria would constantly attack Israel. Every single time they come up with plans to attack Israel, somehow Elisha sees, picks up these things in the spirit and warns Israel that this is what the king is going to do. So run away. And every single time that happens, Elisha would warn the man of the Israel and then they'll run away. It got to a point the king of Syria got angry. And he said, I'm sure there's someone of you here in my camp who's revealing things to Israel. And one of them said, no, it's not us, but it's Elisha. He reveals the very things you say in your secret place. He reveals it. Elisha said, well, the king of Syria, said, let's arrest this guy. And so they surround the city one night. When his servant wakes up, he sees the city all surrounded and he's afraid. Said, what shall we do? Oh my God. And Elisha is so relaxed. He's so relaxed. He said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the Bible says, Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw what God was doing. As I was reading that scripture, I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to share this morning? And I believe God has a few things for you today that will set your course for 2019. It will set your course for 2019. And as I was reading this scripture, and I was meditating on it, the first thing that came to me, I said, Lord, thank you so much for the gift of eyesight. I mean, natural eyesight. Thank you so much for the gift of eyesight. I don't know how people who are blind live their lives, you know. I know these days you've got guide dogs and like, because of advances in technology, you can navigate your way. But it's not the same. It's just not the same when you're blind. Life is very limited in so many ways. So many ways, it's not the same at all. Andre, please kill the drums. It's not the same. Life is not the same at all. And I was thinking, if you think life without sight is hard in the realm of the natural, then what about being spiritually blind? That's even worse, being spiritually blind. Because you don't see where you're going, you don't know how. And the thing about being spiritually blind is anything that happens in the realm of the spirit has an impact in the natural realm. Anything that happens in the realm of the spirit has an impact in the natural realm. And so if in the spirit you're not well, it would have an impact in the life that we see you live in. I mean, why do you think things like voodoo and juju and all these things work? They take place in the spirit first, and then you see the manifestation in the realm of the natural. But if you, as a person of God, as a child of God, know your position in Christ, these things have no power over you because you deal with them in prayer, which is spiritual warfare in itself. You deal with these things. But everything that happens in the realm of the natural has an in the realm of the spiritual has an impact in the realm. And so it's important that you look after your spirit being because it determines what happens to you in the natural. It does. It does. Says, God opened his eyes and he saw angels all around him and the spirit all around him. Do you know, I read somewhere that one angel can take about 180,000 men. Just one angel. Yeah. And as I was seeing, I said, Lord, so what message have you got for your children this morning? You know, the first point I picked up in that scripture, you see, the importance about seeing in the spirit. So every single time the king of Syria would attack Israel, Elisha would see it first in the realm of the spirit and then warn Israel, say, look, this is what is going to happen, so move away. Every single time that happens, he'll warn him and he'll move away. What does that tell you? Or what does that tell you? It means that when you're able to see it in your spirit, it always puts you one step ahead. It always puts you one step ahead of everybody, of everything. So you're always a step ahead of the others. You're always a step ahead in business. You're always a step ahead. You think of what you can achieve when you're a step ahead. Because you know beforehand what is going to happen. I'll never forget this time when a friend said, Lord, he's got a business proposal and that I should join. It's not a big deal now, but 10 years ago, it was a big deal for me. He said, he's got a business proposal, so I should join. And I invested £10,000 in that business. Now, I think I've shared this before. And that thing never saw the money again. That was 10 years ago. It was a lot of money for me. I never saw that money again. And I'm thinking, if I had stopped for 1 second and said, Lord, what do you think about investing this money in this business? He probably would have said, don't. You're better off putting that money in an ISA or something. And everything was gone. It puts you a step. I would have been a step ahead. Especially when you're dealing with people you trust, you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. But no, you always have to take your decisions before God first, before anything. You see, we are in December now. Very soon it's going to be January. Between December and January, that's where most people reflect on the year, thinking, how did my year go? You know, what went bad in this year? What can I do better this coming year? What should I embrace? What should I walk away from? Decisions. Should I stay in this relationship? Should I move away from this relationship? It's all about decisions. And I know God wants us to be ahead, one step ahead at least, of our decision making, because it's a key to success. You know, in John chapter 16, verse 13, look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 16, verse 13. He makes a comment here. John 16, 13. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, what does that mean? A step, God wants you to be a step ahead. He says he will tell you of things to come. Things that you haven't even seen yet, he will tell you of things to come. I want you to be a step ahead. I want you to be a step ahead of the game in business, in your marriage, in every area of your life. I want you to be a step ahead. He says, I will tell you of things that are yet to come. You know, there's a story in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 45. Watch this. It says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." This is Philip telling Nathanael this. Now, look at how Nathanael reacts. Nazareth! Nazareth! Can anything good come from there? That's how Nathanael... Nazareth! Can anything... Even before he sees Jesus, he's made his conclusion. Nazareth! Can anything good come out of there? And sometimes we make our decisions before we go and see God, which is wrong. We just want him to rubber stamp. No! So before he's even seen Jesus... He's making his conclusion. But I like the answer Philip gives him, because Philip says, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. And so Nathanael goes, and watch this. He says this. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Watch how Nathanael reacts. It's, how do you know me? Nathanael, how? He completely forgets that. He's got, God has got inside information about him already. So how do you know me, Nathanael? I know you before the foundations of this universe was established. God knew you already. He knew the plans and the purposes he has for you already. And so if he's placed you here, he's placed you for a purpose. He's placed you here for a purpose. How do you know me? How do you know me, Nathanael asked. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I saw you whilst you were still under the fig tree, even before Philip called you." Way before Philip called you, I'd seen you under the tree. Jesus was one step ahead. One step ahead. Way before Philip called you, I'd already seen you. 49. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus probably laughed and said, "You believe now, don't you?" Because you said, "I saw you under the fig tree," you will see great things than this. There is something about being one step ahead that brings a belief and a confidence. There is something that brings a belief and a confidence. Because you're one step, you imagine you having an exam. You know, I don't know how many people were here at the all night, but when Pastor Paul said Pastor Lamai was coming, I thought I'll check him out on the internet and listen to some of his messages first, before I see him. There was a message he was preaching where he said, you know, when he used to be at university, he would dream about the questions that were coming to come in the exams. He would see them in advance and all that. See, and it puts you a step ahead. When you're a step ahead, you go into places with boldness and confidence because you know what you know. You know there's somebody backing you. So there's a belief. Suddenly you get a belief and a boldness because you are a step ahead of all the others. Says, "You believe because I told you. You see greater things than this. When you're a step ahead, you see great things in your life. Great things in your life." And that's the first thing that I saw. That every single time you develop your spirit being, you see in the spirit, it puts you one step ahead. Another point that we saw when I was reading that scripture is to see beyond what you see. To see beyond when he first saw the army, he cried out and he called Elisha. Elisha was so calm and he said, "Lord," the first thing he says, "Don't be afraid." And he prays and he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And suddenly he saw beyond what he was seeing. Now it's so important that sometimes you see beyond what you are seeing. You have to see beyond what you're seeing. When the guy comes and he's giving you all the lyrics and you know, like saying, "I'll give you this car, I'll give you my house," and giving you all the lyrics, and you'll be checking me out in the spirit. And probably God will say, "Even the shoes he's wearing, he's borrowed." So just be careful. You need to see beyond what you are seeing. It really helps in decision making. Don't just take things at surface value at all. You know, Elisha, a few verses after the story we're reading, the Bible says there was famine in Samaria. There was famine in Samaria. It was so bad that people were having to eat their own children. So bad. And so the king went to Elisha and said, what's happening? Elisha said, what did he say? Tomorrow by this time, things will change. There's going to be so much and so cheap, it will blow you away. And the Bible says there was an officer who was part of the king of Syria. Said, that can never, ever happen. That can never, ever, even if the windows of heaven opened, that can never, ever happen. Elisha said, you watch. You watch. It would happen. But because of your attitude, you won't partake of this. And next day, it happened. And really, because of the guy's attitude, he didn't take any part in it. Listen to me. When you limit your thinking to possibilities that are only peculiar to this realm, you stop seeing the supernatural. You shouldn't limit your thinking to things that are only possible in the realm of the natural. No, because when you do that, you lose the opportunity to see the supernatural in your life. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When the king said, look, I'm setting up an image, and anyone who doesn't worship this image will be thrown into the furnace. What did they do? They said to the king, look, with all respect, we are children of God, and we are not allowed to bow down before any images. We're not allowed. They knew the threat of not bowing down to the image, that they'll be thrown in the furnace. They knew it. But they looked beyond that. They looked beyond the threat. They looked. And, you know, sometimes bad things will happen to you as a Christian because they were still thrown into the furnace anyway because they did not bow down to that image. And as the king is observing them, he calls his officials and he said, did we not put three people in the furnace? How come I'm seeing four? He was so surprised. He said, how come I'm seeing four people in the furnace? He was surprised. You see, sometimes as Christians, we have to live our lives in such a way that non-believers will question their disbelief in God. It's a powerful evangelistic tool. You live your life to the extent that non-believers will begin to question their disbelief in God. I didn't believe in God, but from what I've seen, I'm beginning to have two minds now. My mind is changing. Sometimes you don't have to talk. Let your life speak for you. Let your life speak for you. It's happened to me so many times. I remember I had a landlord. Because sometimes you don't notice people are watching you, you don't know. I had a landlord like that. He's a Jewish guy. He was constantly watching me. I didn't know. One day he came to me and said, can I come to the church that you go to? Can I come? And I said, yeah, I'll be happy to take you. But his wife, he's worse than Jezebel. He wouldn't make him come. He wouldn't make him come. But at least I've sown something in his life. And God will do the rest. God will do. You need to learn to see beyond where you are. You need to learn to see. There's more to life than just what you see and what you hear. There's a saying that all that glitters is not gold. You need to see beyond that. You need to see beyond that. So the first point, when you develop your spirit being, it puts you one step ahead. And in 2019, if you're going to be one step ahead, then you need to submit your spirit to God. In 2019, if you're going to be a step ahead, you need to see beyond what you see. See beyond what you see. See with your eyes of faith. Listen, faith does not ignore the issue. It acknowledges it, but it sees beyond the issue. Yes, I'm sick, I understand, but I'm seeing beyond my sickness because by his stripes I'm healed. Yes, I haven't got a job, I understand, but I'm seeing beyond that because he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. See beyond it. See beyond the issue. See beyond it. See beyond the issue. Be one step ahead and see beyond the issue. Shall we go back to 2 Kings? Just want to show you something there. Remember when the servant went to Elisha and he was afraid. He said, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? What did Elisha say? He said, don't be afraid. He doesn't even answer his question. What shall we do? He says, don't be afraid. What shall we do? He said, don't be afraid. He tells him what not to do. Because any decision that is born out of fear or born out of emotions will lead to the wrong direction. Any decision that comes out of it will lead. And our lives is all about decisions we make. All about 2019 is going to be decisions you make. You are where you are right now because of certain decisions you took, whether you like it or not. It has a reflection on your life. Sometimes I look at the lives of somebody like Saul in the Bible, or even Solomon. Solomon, with all the wisdom and the wealth and the power and everything he had, he took certain decisions that curtailed his destiny, especially Saul. Certain decisions he took. Because at some point, Solomon was distracted. He was distracted, completely distracted. And when you're distracted, it leads you to take decisions that takes you nowhere. He was completely distracted. You know, we have to stop getting distracted by things that have nothing to do with your goals or your future or your destiny. Stop being distracted. He was distracted. Look at somebody like Saul. Somebody who used to prophesy one time. Suddenly he's going to see witches. How is that possible? How? Because he was distracted and he took certain decisions. But the thing is, you take one decision at first, you don't see. But then it's a knock-on effect. And then it leads to a series of wrong decisions. And before you know, you're right down there. You've got to learn to keep your mind focused. You know, God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night because in there lies your success. God knows something. He knows because he knows that as you meditate on the word of God, it consumes you. And what consumes your mind controls your life. Whatever consumes your mind controls you. You will always go in the direction of your dominant thought. And so if what you are thinking about is not right, then just imagine things it will lead to. What controls your mind controls. Your mind controls your life. And so you need to begin to change the way you think. Personally, I believe that as we submit our plans to God, as we yield our plans to Him, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of humility. And you know, James chapter 4, what does James chapter 4 verse 6 says? James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, God gives favor to the humble. As you go, it says, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. As you go before God in humility, you submit your prayer. Listen, every process in life that doesn't involve God, and then you would see flaws in them. You will see flaws. Because every decision you take will be tested at some point. It will be tested. And so if the foundation on which you made the decision is not from God, guess what happens? It will shake. It will shake. Decisions are everything. They are everything. They determine your destiny. Everything. Everything. So how are you going to decide as we step into 2019? How are you going to decide these things? How are you going to make your decisions? Are you going to make your decisions first before you go to God? Or are you going to go to God first before you make your decisions? Shall we be on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God really wants you to be a step ahead. A step ahead in everything you do. A step ahead in everything you say. In your business. In your finances. In your marriage, you think about areas in your life where you want to succeed. He wants you to be a step ahead. He says, I'll send the Spirit when He comes. He will show you things that are yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, one last thing that I want to mention, it just dropped in my spirit. that you've got to be careful who you have around you as you step into 2019. Extremely important. You've got to be careful who you have around you. You need the right people around you. You see, the king of Israel had Elisha around him. He had Elisha around him. And so Elisha's help made him escape the wars of the enemy. You need the right people around you. People who would give you sound wisdom. People who would help you in time of your need. See, the Bible says David had an advisor in his time called Ahithophel. And the Bible says Ahithophel was so wise that anytime he spoke, it was as if God himself had spoken. You need the right people. If as you step into 2019, there are people in your life that you know you're not going to go anywhere with, walk away from them. Walk away from them. I don't care how spiritual you are. If you're around people who are not that spiritual, they would cause you to slide back. Have nothing to do with things that have nothing to do with your goals or your destiny or your future. Walk away from certain things and embrace certain things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift your children before you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for every plan and every purpose that you have for them, oh God, even as they step into the year 2019. I thank you that, Lord, it's a year of new beginning for them, oh God. I thank you, Father, that you will open their eyes, Father, that they'll begin to see beyond what they are seeing right now. Father, let their lives testify, oh God, about your goodness, God. Let their lives bring glory to your name by the things you do in them and through them. I thank you so much, Father. And I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.